to the Charmed Life podcast. This podcast is all about magic, metaphysics, mysticism, and the unconditional love of the universe. And I am your host here. My name is Trisha Carr. I want to invite you to this very special episode with an amazing guest. Her name is Jenna Valdez. She is a Reiki master and spiritual hypnotist. And so if you've been listening to this podcast for a while, then you may know that I am a hypnotherapist. I am a graduate of the HMI College for Hypnotherapy. And I actually graduated in 2020, but we just had our graduation, you know, because of the pandemic. I mean, they did actually conduct it online. And it was amazing. If you are interested in hypnosis, if you're interested in having a career as a hypnotherapist, I cannot recommend highly enough HMI College for Hypnotherapy. HMI stands for Hypnosis Motivation Institute, and it is just an amazing place. I actually taught there for a while, and I'm going to start working there again, and I'm super excited to join the team again. So if you are interested in that, you can feel free to actually reach out to me. Go to my website, trishacarcharm.com. You'll find the contact form there. And you can, you know, send me an email and ask me about it. And if you do go and check it out on your own, be sure to let them know that you heard about it here. I have a few episodes with George Kappas, who is the director, also with Cheryl O'Neill, who is my mentor and therapeutic imagery facilitator, master teacher. And she's been at the school for, I don't know, 20, 30 years, something like that. Amazing. And actually a couple of other graduates, my co-students, if you will. So just sending a little plug there your way that way. And it's an amazing program, life transforming. But this is all about my amazing guest, Jenna Valdez. And we talk about a lot of things. We have a lot of things in common. Jenna will tell us how she is a person who moved out of a very strict, high-pressure religion. And I, of course, came from a religious background as well. I actually sent myself to religion, though. I actually took myself to church starting at age 11, seeking spirituality, and that was the paradigm that was presented to me, so that's where I went. And another thing that we have in common is that Jenna is actually a graduate of two of the programs of Light Shine Academy. And I thought I would mention that because I don't explain it fully in the conversation. We mentioned Crystal Ann Compton is who I'm referring to. And she is my business partner in the Light Shine Academy. So you can find the description and a link to Light Shine Academy in the description. That's what I should say. You can find the link to Light Shine Academy in the description if you're interested in finding out more about our programs, both the live ones and the on-demand ones. And without further delay, then, let's get into the awesome conversation that I have with Jenna Valdez, and I'll chat with you on the other side. Jenna, I'm so excited to connect with you. Your work is so interesting, and we have a lot in common, both being hypnotists. So I'm super excited to hear all about your work. Really, really beautiful energy that comes through everything that I have seen of you. And well, I guess, and you've been in some courses, which I didn't realize, and I'm excited to be refreshed of that. You know, part of it is because we have a lot of people in our courses, but also because when I'm teaching and coaching, we're in hypnosis, right? And you have amnesia when you're in hypnosis. So I feel like I get the opportunity to become BFFs with you and learn all about you in this episode. So with that, will you please let everyone listening and watching, however they're receiving this, just let everyone know about your journey and the work that you're doing, all so beautiful and exciting.
Sure. So first off, thank you so much for having me. I was really looking forward to this. So a little bit about my journey. I would consider myself to always have been a spiritual person. I come from, I guess, a long line of psychics, mediums, spiritual women, connected women. Mm-hmm. But as a child, my mom actually shut those gifts down in my childhood. And she raised me in a very strict religion. Mm. So I actually grew up as a Jehovah's Witness. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I remember early on, you know, and I think that I can relate to you in that way. Not the same exact thing, but very fear-based, right?
Yeah.
A lot of the things that we're doing right now was, it was not, you know, not something that was encouraged by any means.
just state it lightly.
Just state it lightly, yeah. Yeah, you know, I turned to the dark side and in their, you know, point of view. But anywho, so early on, I really shut down any gifts that I had. I remember as early as maybe 4 or 5 years old, like praying, please don't let me see anything. Don't let me hear anything. And so, you know, even though I looking back, I definitely had a lot of signs coming to me. I was definitely very connected to spirit, to my guides. And I could see really how the path was kind of illuminated from very early on. Mm-hmm. But fast forward, I ended up leaving that religion about 6-7 years ago. Okay. And so in that religion that I was brought up in, they referred to it as the truth. Mm. And that's what they would call it. So if you and I were both members of that organization, we would say, hey, how did you get the truth? Were you raised in the truth? Oh, were you born in the truth? And so I had this ingrained in my head, right? So when I left, I went on this mission, you know, I was going to find the truth.
Mm.
Even if there was nothing beyond this 3D reality, I was going to find that out.
Mm-hmm.
And so the beauty of it all is that it started as a journey seeking truth, and it ended up a journey of self-healing.
Yeah.
And
that's the truth.
Yes,
that's your own
the truth.
Healing.
Yes, and that we all have the ability to heal ourselves, to heal others, to help others, and you know we're all of service to others, right? In some way or another. So I ended up finding this little crystal shop around the corner from my job, and met a Reiki practitioner. Wanted to, of course, get certified right away. I started studying Reiki. Level one, level two, master level. And that was really how I guess it all began unfolding for me.
Mm-hmm. Were you scared leaving the religion? Because, you know, there's a lot of fear about, you know, like you said, being having that strong suggestion, hypnosis, brainwashing, whatever word you want to use for it, that is the truth. And for me, they didn't use in the religions that I was involved in. I mean, it was different denominations of religions, but it was about blaspheming the Holy Spirit, backsliding, you know, leaving and the light, but they didn't even call it that. They just, you know, called it the right way and moving to basically pain, death, and destruction. It was scary in a way, but at the same time, it just felt like, I don't know what else to do though. You know what I mean? It was a shoe that just didn't fit anymore. It almost like I didn't make the choice. So did you have fear leaving the religion or after you left, did you have some sort of fear memories, like fear flashbacks where you're like, oh, did I make the right choice? And almost like you wanted to backslide into religion. You know what I mean?
Definitely. There was a lot of fear. Yeah. And one of the first things, actually, even before I ended up, you know, learning Reiki, I had this just impulse that, you know, it was like an intuitive push to watch the movie The Secret. And I don't know where this came from. You know, that was just spirit really talking to me. Watch The Secret. And I remember I had tried many times while I was still fully indoctrinated to watch this movie, and it terrified me. Just that opening scene of the casket shutting and, you know, this secret has been locked away. But it opened my mind up to the law of attraction, which I thought was like a really nice segue for me. It was like a very good beginner type mm-hmm. of movie for me. But I distinctly remember sitting in on a reading that my mom had with a friend of mine.
Really?
So,
when was that?
So this was right when I left. A lot of things kind of happened, you know, all at once. A friend of mine who I had been working with came to visit. My mom flew in. She was visiting. And my mom is a medium. She doesn't do it for a living, but she can, you know, do very extensive readings. Wow. And so I was sitting on the couch beside her, and she proceeded to, you know, tell my friend in detail, you know, describing her father who had passed to a T. Exactly what he looked like. She knew about this wedding that my friend was just recently at, what color the bridesmaid dresses were, and just every detail that my mom could have never possibly known. She, you know, she was a friend who at that time I just worked with. I wasn't friends with her on social media. And my friend, you know, it was her reaction, you know, her emotion. Like, I couldn't believe it. And the fact that I wasn't scared while this information was flowing through, I think that's what really helped me at first overcome the fear. Like, okay, I'm going to open this Pandora's box and see how it feels. And if it's scary, I'll take a step back, but I'm just going to kind of trust my emotion. And what I was, I guess, really doing is trusting my intuition, but it wasn't scary. And I was kind of shocked, like, this is supposed to be, you know, the devil's work, and it's not frightening. It's actually beautiful. And so I guess I was intrigued.
We don't have to tell her story, but, you know, your mother had you in the religion, but then she has, and she shares this ability. Is she currently navigating being in the church or out of the church or something like that? And I guess maybe we don't have to share that, but you mentioned it a couple of times.
Yeah. So she's, of course, part of my journey. After I left and after I, you know, began on my journey, she kind of followed along with me. So thankfully,
that's nice.
Yeah, that the two of us don't have that fear anymore. Thank God.
Oh, good. Yeah. I'm so glad. That's beautiful. And so you have that support. You both have that support. My mother also, my mother had a horrible fear. She was raised really, really fearfully with the kind of what in the South we call fire and brimstone, pulpit preaching. About basically every Sunday was talking about how you're all sinners and this is what hell is like. And, you know, just like really, really harsh fear tactics. And so most of my life, like she would take us to church sometimes to rebel against my dad, who was a violent alcoholic. And it was almost like an act of defiance to take us to church and a way to get away from him. But that was about it. And then most of my teenage years and childhood, she was afraid of the idea of any kind of spirituality because she just had so much PTSD. So she couldn't even go to church because she was so afraid of what church meant and what church had done to her. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, her journey has been really interesting to observe. And I remember in my 20s, she went to church. She started going to church like big time. And I was like, okay, that's cool, because she somehow overcame her fear. And then the person she was following, this pastor, had an epiphany. And he had an epiphany that Jesus was the false prophet. And so he said, we have to denounce Christ, Jesus, as the Christ, and become Messianic Jews or something like that. Something interesting. But even like that move, because I thought, wow, she renounced Jesus? That's brave. You know what I mean? Like, I saw her uncovering all these layers of fear. And while I don't understand exactly, you know, I don't relate to her journey in a specific way, I was just impressed with her. I mean, I'm impressed with you and your mom being able to leave that kind of a pressure and that kind of fear mindset. And we have a lot of people who come to my programs, come to Crystal's programs, come to my podcast, you know, because we like attracts like. Mm-hmm. So your story is it's ministering. It's really healing for others to hear. And so 6 or 7 years, and is there anything that you miss? Because that's the other thing too. There's some things that actually happened good while you were in church. You know what I mean? Like, there's fellowship.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe. Yeah. It's interesting, right?
I think that's what's so beautiful from my perspective about what you and Crystal do, is that you don't dismiss everything. You know, you can find the beauty in it and you know, the things that you were able to take from it. But, you know, dismiss the parts that were just fear-based or man-made. And that's really what I connected with initially. Mm-hmm. So I think it's a beautiful thing that, you know, I have knowledge of the scriptures. If anyone ever, you know, approached me, I really could have that intellectual deep conversation with them and not just be kind of a like a sheep, you know, lost in the headlights, or, you know, a deer in headlights or something, you know, I could really be able to conversate with them because I have that and, you know, also be able to expand on that. But, you know, it's, I've also outgrown it. And so, you know, it's beautiful what you guys are doing because you have come from that background, but you've really blossomed it into something so much more. Whereas, you know, I thought of God as in this box and now it's so much more, you know, it's, it's not a he, it's not like, it's just, it's so much bigger than that. And I love it.
And so you are a Reiki master and you're also a spiritual hypnotist. I would love to hear about the kind of work that you're, that you are doing and the kind of, and I'm sure that is evolving, isn't it?
It is. It's definitely evolving. I feel like even with every session that I do, spirit's showing me something different. And it's not just, you know, hypnotherapy that I'm doing with my clients. You know, sometimes I'm in a session and, you know, and they're under hypnosis and my hands just start heating up, or now, okay, now we're kind of turning it into a little bit of a Reiki session. Or, you know, vice versa. I just feel moved to say something and it becomes a dialogue while someone's on my massage table. So I would say it's, my sessions are different every time. It's really, and I, you know, and I tell my clients that, you know, this is what you can expect, but really what I'm doing is I'm allowing spirit to work through me with, you know, to bring forth whatever it is that they need at that time. And it could be kind of a combination of hypnosis, of energy work. I might just make them, you know, a recording for them to listen to, a hypnotic recording. And so I really enjoy working with people a little bit more long-term because I feel like then I get a sense of really what it is that they need so that they could truly heal and not just kind of be in and out the door.
Yeah. I like that too. I mean, I do sessions that are catalyst sessions, and they have a they have you know, an impact immediately, and also a delayed, you know, it's like kind of like a time release capsule. But I think it's even better to like do that and then start to work more long term, especially because we're reprogramming the energy, and that just like retraining muscles, you know, wiring the brain, the growth happens sustainably, that's actually graceful and more long lasting. And so, yeah, I prefer that as well. I like that a lot. So, what programs have you taken with us, with Crystal and me, with Lightshine Academy?
So I took the Intuitive Intensive last year.
Okay.
And then I also did the business course that you guys put out over the summer. Super.
Okay, good, good, good. Yeah, the Enlightened Entrepreneur.
Yes.
And what, so you have one-on-one sessions. Is it like either or like you're saying, they're kind of just whatever spirit needs to do. So, and do you see people, what are they like? Do you see people in person? Do you see people remotely? What are the sessions kind of, what does your business look like?
Sure. So I do both. I see a lot of people on, you know, online, more so in person though. I actually have a space in Vernon, New Jersey. So I'm in a metaphysical shop upstairs. Cool. And my sessions will start out, you know, of course, they'll decide, you know, if they want a hypnotherapy session or if they want a Reiki session. It just seems that lately it ends up being, they end up coming back for, you know, different work, because there's more work to be done than just, you know, getting just to the subconscious or just working with the energy. You know, a lot of people that I'm seeing now are really interested in deep healing. And it's, you know, it's a journey. It's a healing journey, right?
And now for these messages. Creation of the outside world really does start inside. You can feel better and receive more. Miraculous shifts happen when you align your inner world with your higher self and your soul blueprint. My clients report immediate and long-lasting results of the inner and outer world. I channel guidance and energy transmissions from your higher self and spirit team. As you resonate with the transmission, change occurs. In sessions and coaching, mentoring, I use my abilities of empathic channeling, hypnohealing, quantum resonance healing, as well as spiritual counseling, neuro-linguistic programming, and so much more. Check out my calendar for my session work and my coaching and mentoring. I would love to work in your beautiful energy.
Hello, my friend, it's Trisha Carr. I'm here to invite you to my coaching and mentoring portal, Modern Mystic Life. This high-value, easy-access portal is like having a spiritual mentor right in your pocket. You'll receive all the inspiration right there in your text messenger, and you can also access it on your desktop. I will be delivering the tools and technology that are proven to evolve your abundant life inside and out. You will receive daily inspiration, education, and practices to help you evolve your life as a mystic and a human spiritual being. Plus, you will have access to my monthly workshops in which I teach and channel cutting-edge spiritual content, and also will give guidance, intuitive readings, and attunements right there in our group setting. I worked with Spirit to co-create and manifest the best way to support you and in the easiest fashion, and here it is. I'm very excited to co-create with you too. So, welcome, my friend, to your Modern Mystic Life.
And now back to the show.
What drew you to hypnosis? How did that connection to hypnosis specifically as a modality unfold for you?
So it started with a TED talk that I saw from a woman named Marissa Peer. Mm. And I don't know if you're familiar with her. She does rapid transformational therapy, which is a form of hypnosis. And so just listening to everything that she said, it resonated really, really deep with me. And she was just talking about this belief that so many of us have that we are not enough. Mm. And I'm like, oh man, like I definitely have that. I'm not enough. Oh. And so I thought about it for probably over a year. Should I sign up? Should I not sign up? Should I invest in that? And in the meantime, I was just buying these hypnosis recordings. This was a little before I found you and Crystal's work. And so I ended up signing up for her course and studying online. And throughout that program, the healing that occurred within myself was so profound, not just for me, but I was seeing the effect on my young daughter. Mm. That she was beginning to change, and my partner was beginning to change, and even my mom and I's relationship, which we didn't have the best relationship, you know, that started to change. And I'm like, oh my goodness, like this is incredible. The more I concentrate on myself, the more everyone else is getting healed. Like this is the coolest thing ever. And I needed to bring that to people. Like if I could really heal those deep wounds, because when you first leave such a strict religion like that, where, you know, really, I hate to use the word cult, but I was basically in a doomsday cult. And when you have that type of fear and that type of background, like I remember first coming out and just not knowing how I'm going to wake up the next day for my child. Like, how am I supposed to be strong for her? How am I supposed to go on? How am I supposed to even function? And then just seeing like how far I came and how far hypnosis took me from where I thought I was, okay, I'm good, you know? And then hypnosis just boom, took me to that next level. Like if I could heal from all of that, that's religious spiritual trauma, I need to help other people. And that's when I knew, okay, I'm going to do whatever I have to do. If I have to, you know, work the day job and then do this on the weekends and until I can, you know, make this my full-time mission in life, I'm going to do it. I'm going to put in the work. I'm going to put in the time. I'm going to put in the energy. Like I need to bring this to people.
Everything. And it's all hypnosis. Hypnosis is everything in life. It just is. And I say that, obviously, you know this. I'm saying this for, you know, everyone. The thing is, hypnosis is not like one little small box where you're swinging a watch and, you know, falling asleep immediately or something like that. Hypnosis is a spectrum. When we're in meditation, we're in hypnosis. When we're in church, we're in hypnosis. That's how they're able to get those fearful suggestions and convince you of, you know, these wild myths. I mean, like really wild myths. Like if you really stand back from them, some of them, and I don't mean to make fun of anyone if you do have some sort of faith, but like with me, my husband and I were watching some show and they were singing a hymn. And this hymn was like something about the blood, oh, the blood. I just kept saying the blood. And of course, that was perfectly normal to me when I was in church. And I said to my husband, I was like, do you know this song? He's like, oh, yeah, of course, because he came up in religion, too. I'm like, it's super creepy if you like if you step back from it, singing joyfully about the blood, yeah. Creepy.
Then you're washing yourself in the blood.
I'm washed in the blood. Ew.
I know. And watching TV, too, is yeah. Hypnosis. Like,
absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think it's another way, like, if we've kind of come through some really intense times, political, socially, and everything, and if you have a family member, the generational gap where you can't believe that maybe your parent or aunt or somebody is believing certain things, like, really, that's what you're believing? You heard that from this news, quote, air quotes, source, and you actually believe that? That's because they were hypnotized into that. And everything is hypnosis. And meditation and your spiritual practice, it is all done in hypnosis. Getting into the subconscious mind, the way that we connect with spirit guides, angels, whatever it is through the portal of hypnosis. Everything is hypnosis. And it's the way that's what energy healing is done in. That's everyone is hypnotized a lot of the times of day. And that's how sessions like, you know, when we actually intelligently use hypnosis, if you just take someone who's already walking around in a hypnotic state, usually a fear-based one, and we take them deeper intentionally and then wake them all the way up, they feel so much better because we at least broke the illusion that they were stuck in, the hypnosis they were stuck in. And yeah. That's why even one session can be so catalyzing because you break through that. So everything is hypnosis, and I just love that you found it too. I wanted to go on a little bit of a thing about it because sometimes people like you and me, probably we were always interested in it. You know what I mean? Like you were already buying hypnosis audios, and I kind of understood it probably like from my past lives or something like that. And some people, they're kind of hypnotized to think that hypnosis is something very, I don't know, limited or specific, and it's actually everything.
It is. You are so right. And I love that you threw in past lives too, because, mm-hmm. you know,
that's
sometimes
how you access your life. Yes, yeah. In hypnosis. Yeah.
Yes, mm-hmm. Absolutely. I've had somebody spontaneously go into a past life during hypnosis. And that's what I was like, whoa, this is the coolest thing ever, you know, because you just don't know where your subconscious is going to take you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's this today there was someone I had on my podcast, a guest, probably 2 months ago now. Her name was April Adams, and she's been on twice now. And she introduced me to this, it's called Orpheus Mind Technologies. And they're hypnosis audios. And when I suggested that to her, she's like, no, they're not. No, I don't use hypnosis. And I'm like, well, no, you said you work with the subconscious mind. Anytime you're working with the subconscious mind, you're working with hypnosis. And she's like, oh, okay. You know, I'm just repeating what was actually on the podcast. I'm not like but these are really, they're very targeted. Is that they were actually created by some tech guy, and he just kind of treated the mind like he treats programming a computer, but uses all different, like if you listen to them, you'll recognize the different types of hypnotic modalities that he's using. He's using like exposure, emotional exposure. He's using, you know, like tapping and eye fascination and different things like that. But what's amazing is that it will help you to move through a negative emotion so you can release it from your spiritual energy, from your subconscious mind, and find what the message actually was of that negative emotion was giving you. But it's so amazing because even though I know who's behind the curtain, I know how it's working, it still works. You know what I mean? Like, and they're just like 12 minutes. So I find those to be almost like they're very fast acting and they're very directed, and I use them a lot. So it's funny though, because I will be in my own hypnosis with my negative thought, my negative feeling. And once again, even though I know how it works, I have to remind myself, oh, you need to go in there and you can just become free of it. If you know what I mean? Like there's a positive way that life, God, spirit is reaching out to you through the portal of whatever that negative thing is.
Absolutely.
And I love how you brought up, you know, the more I work on myself, we have the exact opposite message, right? Where we think that I'm unhappy because of that which is outside. If only I will have enough money or the right partner or the what, you know, outside, then I will be happy. But in fact, we don't need anything outside of us to change to be happy. It's the other way around, which is, I think, the fundamental to the law of attraction. But miracles happen when I change, like you say, when I change inside. Somehow, I don't know, maybe we do a quantum leap. I move into a different reality where I have a different mom. I don't know what's going on, but it feels that significant.
It does feel that significant because you're seeing the evidence in front of you.
And you don't even, so this, I feel like when I'm in a sense placing my order with the universe and doing my work to align with it, I don't even have to believe in the 100% that it's possible. I just kind of have to be open to it being possible. So I'll be like, listen, I want this to resolve, and I don't want what I assume would have to be a painful journey to get there. Like there's going to be arguing and there's going to be some kind of suffering. I want it to look like that. And I'm willing to improve myself to get there too. And then it will boom, 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 fall into place. Even if, like I say, I don't 100% believe it. I'm like, all right, y'all try it. I'll just be over here trying to feel better.
right. But you're thinking from the end result, right? So that's what you're manifesting. If we concentrate on one, you know, one direction or one path to get there, we shut down so many other pathways.
Yes, absolutely. We have to be in, so we're talking basically about surrender, surrendering to the process. Work do your clients come to you for, like any specific areas that you see repeating, or you know, is it life purpose, relationships, what kinds of, how do you find hypnosis and Reiki to be able to help in all the different ways?
I get a lot of self-esteem, confidence, I would say more so those type of issues that come through the door. Sometimes I'll get specific things, like people that, you know, are looking to lose weight or looking to overcome something because they want to start a small business. But it seems to always come down to, for me, a self-esteem issue and a confidence issue. And so I try to work with my clients to really empower them to see the patterns. You know, sometimes they'll come in even just for a past life regression, and it ends up being, you know, maybe they couldn't make decisions because of all of these events that happened in past lives that made them feel such guilt for decisions that they made that were wrong, you know, in their mind in that life. But it somehow it's relating to, you know, their self-esteem now in this life and them not believing that they can do this or that or accomplish this or that or just be, you know, be happy within themselves. So I try to start really at that basis with just really empowering them. Yeah. Because kind of that's the basis of what I'm seeing is the self-esteem really needs that nurturing. It needs that, you know, they need to feel empowered again. They've disempowered themselves sometimes their entire lives. And it's beautiful the transformations that I see in them when I start at that foundation. Because then they start to see, okay, well, now I really want to work on this specific thing. Okay, well, you got the underlying issue. So now you're ready to work on that thing. Yeah. You know, and so it kind of just unfolds from there.
And then they are able to be their own healer too every day. If you give them the tools, you give them the empowerment and the belief in themselves. And we really do need that from, you know, like in order for your clients to really make transformations, they kind of have to do, I mean, they leave your session, but they have to speak better to themselves. You know, they have to be kinder to themselves so that they don't continue to destroy their own self-esteem and, you know, and other things. And
they have to put in the work. I have one client in particular that comes to mind who kept coming back and coming back for different sessions. And she wasn't, you know, listening to her hypnosis recordings that I made for her. She wasn't doing the little techniques that I had given for her. And so I'm getting messages almost daily at one point, you know, just that she wasn't breaking through the way that she wanted to, but she wasn't putting in the work. And as soon as she started just putting in that little, you know, 10, 15 minutes a day, she's sending me, paintings that she made where she hasn't painted in years, mm-hmm. and the grades that she's getting now in college. It's a young girl. And like I'm moved to tears because I'm like, this is all you needed was to just put in that little bit of effort, mm-hmm. because I'm just giving her the tools. She's the one that's doing it. And now she's seeing the evidences of her healing, of her transformation.
And you're demonstrating to yourself, you know, that you do believe in you. You know, it's kind of like I talk about having in hypnosis, we work with the inner child, and mm-hmm. we have the inner child. We also have the inner parent, the divine parent. And in a way, it just sounds like there was a patterning there where it was like, will you take care of me? You know, and so you were able to tell her, no, you take care of yourself. And then the energy can really flow with the divine inner parent and the inner child who's being taken care of now. Do you do inner child hypnosis? Or, I mean, it possibly happens spontaneously.
Yes.
If not,
yeah, I do.
It's like that in past lives. Oh gosh, there's just it's so ripe. I mean, I actually do that work with myself regularly, both past lives and inner child. I probably do inner child work even more because if I'm feeling something, you know, myself, that's uncomfortable, I try to trace it back to what seems like the earliest experience of that. And when I do that, I don't like insist that that was absolutely true. You know, I mean, maybe I saw that my parents put me in some situation. That's not important. The important thing is that's what my energy recalls. Mm-hmm. And being able to allow myself to learn what I could have learned instead of, like you said, that one narrow thing that I was holding and freezing that moment. It was just one moment, and somehow I'm freezing it and making it so significant. And to let the inner child know that actually you survived this, so you can let go of that now. You became, and not only survived it, but we're going to thrive because of it, you know, get something out of it.
Exactly.
Yeah. Inner child work and past lives. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, it's, I get so excited about this.
Yeah, me too.
But it's interesting you say that, because oftentimes it's not, you know, a lot of, so I do regression mm-hmm. in my hypnosis okay. sessions. And I know that studies have shown that a lot of times your memories are not accurate. Mm-hmm. But it's the attachment, the meaning that you attach to that memory that's the juicy part right there, you know. Yeah. That's what we're getting at when I do you know, hypnosis work with the inner child, mm-hmm. because it doesn't matter, even if everything that they're recalling is completely inaccurate, it still meant this to them, and yeah. it still is causing this issue in their life today.
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly. I mean, that's what the inner child, as well as past lives, they're, because they're not actually happening right now, actually they're archetypal. That doesn't mean they're not real. And that's another thing that we have to kind of overcome when we have spiritual awakening, in some way, is like the trauma that most of us experience, that's just your imagination, that we say to children, probably not you with your child.
Not
that's
anymore.
Just your imagination. Yeah, exactly. I even feel like, okay, if it's fear-based, if you're afraid, then we don't have to give it any value. That's what we really want to tell children. So that's a bit wordy, I know. I mean, kids aren't, they don't have the same language facility. But when we learn that's just my imagination, stop that. You know, that's not real. That's not helpful. And somehow then imagination is put up as juxtaposed as the enemy to life. And in fact, that is how we heal, is to move into the imaginal space, which is hypnosis, and to let all that stuff air out and let it show us what it wanted us to learn instead.
Right. Because then after we go through all this trauma and we, you know, go through our spiritual awakening, we're trying to tap into that, yeah. that imagination again, right? That we've shut down for so long. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think about my daughter too. She's 9 now, and I actually have one on the way too.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. And a lot of things that my daughter said to me when she was very young, before I really knew, you know, true spirituality or was doing any work like this, but little things that I still remember, such as she told me, mommy, before I came into your belly, I was thinking about going into somebody else's belly. And so I slid down this long tube, and then the last minute I changed my mind and slid down into your belly.
That's amazing. And she had never been exposed to anything like that before. You're like, never. Okay, whatever.
Never. But you know, we discredit children so much, mm-hmm. I think, or many people discredit children, I should say. I don't think so much this community. But she asked very deep, meaningful questions as a young kid that I didn't have the answers to. You know, if God is a man, then how come girls have babies? Like, just things that really
profound. Exactly. Supreme Court.
Yes. I'm like, I don't really have an answer for that. But it's beautiful, you know, and it's a beautiful thing too. You know, I'm excited to see with this next child, because my daughter in her first 4 years of life was, you know, we were still in that religion. But I'm excited to see now, like, as this, when this baby is born and as she begins to start, you know, expressing things as she gets older, they're so connected to Source. Yeah. And so it's going to be exciting, you know, just to see and be able to really take it in and learn from them. Because I think that in my experience anyway, I feel like children are some of the greatest teachers.
Yeah. Well, they are so proximate to, I mean, they aren't as connected to the illusion. They aren't as conditioned, and they haven't set up a default matrix of beliefs that will limit, you know what I mean? Like, by the time 8, we kind of have some of that hardwiring. We reinforce it then up until 14. Then by the time we're 35, you know, it's pretty, it gets tougher.
Yes.
But yeah, before that, you know, because they don't have the critical mind very much, and they don't have logic, reasoning, analysis. They are just basically in hypnosis the whole time. Like, a child at play is the most creative, intuitive, beautiful thing to witness.
Yes.
And that very thing is what a lot of us were told. That's just your imagination, when all of that beauty and creativity. I mean, I wish that I was told it was just my imagination when I saw all the dark little elemental, devil-y kinds of things around my bed. I was in hypnosis, but they were real. But again, if I could have been told, well, we don't have to pay any attention to that. We can let that go. Mm-hmm. And, but I did have my imaginary friends that my family thought was cute. They didn't tell me to stop, you know, and they were, you know, if I said they were there, they'd be like, oh, hi, you know, and talk to my imaginary friends. So that was kind of fun. They just I was the youngest. They just thought that was fun. Have you ever... I've gone down the rabbit hole of looking at all these stories of the kids who talk about their past lives. Like,
yes, I have.
So fun, right?
Yes. And I saw one story where they actually took the kid back to the family.
Yeah.
And they like embraced this child. They knew, they recognized the soul of their child that had passed. Yeah. Chills, right? It's,
yeah. Yeah. There's, I can't remember. I've looked it up now, and I think I've seen a show on Prime or something like that. And there's like a little kid, and he's like saying, yeah, I was this guy. And he's like saying names, and he's like, yeah, and I had my pal so-and-so. and he was like a war veteran, and he would tell. So he's like a 5-year-old kid, and he would tearfully tell stories about his friends died in war. How could a 5-year-old even know that? Mm-hmm. And this one, they actually did, because he could recall so many of the details and the names, and the parents were paying attention. They found the family, and he went and looked through a book and said, there I am.
Wow.
Yeah. It's amazing. And then the kids just, and then they, like, by the time they recorded this documentary that I'm watching, the kid was like 13, 14. And he's like, yeah, I don't really remember any of that. So that's probably going to happen with your new child. You're going to raise this child to be open, to stay open. But at some point we kind of do make the choice to, I don't know, commit a little bit more. And so maybe we kind of let go, whether we're frightened out of it the way that you were, let go of our spiritual connection to some degree, so we can, I think it's the time of us actually committing to stay on the earth, honestly, where we have to,
like, that makes sense.
You know,
they want to fit in, you know, they get to that age. But it's interesting that they say they usually lose it around 8 years old. Mm-hmm. So yeah. I don't know. I think that there's something a little more to that.
Yeah. And you know what else is interesting is that, the Catholic Church confirms at age 8. I mean, I've just noticed these parallels. Yeah, exactly.
That is interesting.
Yeah, it's like an age of knowing. It is a time where your mind, your, not your brain, but your mind is set up with a sort of complete system of logic, analysis, reasoning. You know, the critical mind is in there, and it, you know, we keep, like I say, reinforcing it and adding to it. And but that's why inner child work is so powerful, because those were the first times we were creating those beliefs and those associations. Yes. And it's in that really critical time, and then we start to reinforce it. So it's like right now, oh, I'm 40 and I just had a bad breakup, and he reminds me of the person I broke up with 10 years ago. Oh, wait, but that's kind of like my high school boyfriend. Oh, wait, that actually feels like the thing that happened to me when I was 5 now. If I really go into it and follow the thread of the energy, you know, finding that, whether it's rejection or feeling like you're controlled or, you know, not really able to be who you really are and you're trying to prove yourself. And I'm just thinking of the things that come up in relationships. You'll find that in the thread that's usually in that bulk of time from 0 to 8.
Yep. It usually stems back to that. I see that as well.
And it's also in alignment with like our energy centers development, our higher, our, like all the way up to the heart. That's about when we, or the, at least the lower three, we have like 0 to 6, and then we have 6 to like 18 months with the sacral. And then we have like, you know, up until age 3 and 4, you know, and then when we get up to the throat, this is when we're more in our adolescence and teenage years. And so we're kind of technically, our body is adult. In a lot of ways, our brain isn't, but our body is adult. And so that's when we start to reinforce some of the things in the body. But the, yeah, it's really amazing. So so you're a spiritual hypnotist. So how do you, so do you, you, like you said, you have worked with people who want to lose weight or something. Do you kind of always keep it in the range of mystical, metaphysical kind of mind, you know, thought? Or do you see people who want to like stop biting their nails?
So I, in the past, I did work with children for, you know, nail biting, things like that. I would never, you know, I would never turn somebody away unless I really felt like, no, I'm not the right person. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people are more drawn to me, though, because they know I'm more spiritual. So
and you're working at a physical now, store.
I also, yes. So unless they know me personally, you know, like a family member or a, you know, a friend or something like that. They're probably coming to me because they have, you know, some sort of, you know, spiritual foundation or they're looking for something a little more spiritual. And I actually just came up with that title because I couldn't figure out what to call myself for the longest. And it just came to me. Mm-hmm. But I feel like it's because it's more than just hypnosis. You know, I'm opening sessions in a certain way. I'm working with spirit. I'm not, you know, relying so much on myself. Mm-hmm. Certainly, you know, I have skills that I'm utilizing, but it's a spiritual work that I'm doing, and I'm really, you know, honoring that. And so, yeah, I, working in a metaphysical shop, I'm probably not going to get someone just for nail biting.
unless they want to look at a past life as to why they're biting their nails.
Maybe.
Yeah. And so past lives, like, again, we're talking about the inner child modality being so ripe with ways to heal and to do that kind of work. And what are some of the things that you have, what are some of the stories or ways that you've helped people with past lives? And yourself, do you guide yourself into past life reveal so that to, for your own healing?
I do. So one of the most significant past life regressions I've done on myself was to help my intuition and to see, you know, where certain blocks were. Because consciously I thought, okay, I just shut down my gifts because of, you know, my childhood. But when I went into, I've done a few now, the most significant one, I saw myself in the woods on the earth late at night, and I could see this shallow cave, and I had all kinds of tools set up, and there was some crystals and just all these things laid out on the table. Excuse me. Sure. Whew, sorry.
That's right.
And it brings up a lot of emotion for me, I guess. And and I remember my father, who is definitely my father in this lifetime, found me and turned me into the priest or the pastor. And I remember feeling really in my body like he was doing it with pure intentions, like he really wanted to help me, like he was thought that he was trying to, you know, save me in some way. And so, you know, they ended up burning me at the stake right then and there. And I could see myself. And the interesting thing was my hands were strapped down by my side and I could feel the rope around me. And I went, you know, through the death scene and everything. And as soon as I got through the death scene, it was just what I experience when I facilitate sessions for other people. But it was like a flood of just knowings that came to me, like downloads. Okay, like this is why this is why that. And I remember as a child too, in this current life, I never really had any fears. A lot of people will do past life regression because they think maybe it's, you know, they've carried over a fear or a phobia or something like that. But I didn't really have any fears in my childhood. But I did remember as soon as I did this regression that as a kid, my brother and I used to take our own blankets and like roll ourselves up in the blanket, like a little cocoon or, you know. Mm-hmm. And I remember as soon as I would hit the middle, I would have to quick unfold, unwrap, because I couldn't take the feeling of my hands being tied down to my side.
Yeah.
And then again, another memory where my mom used to joke she could never swaddle me because my hand would kind of like come out through the swaddle. And there's a picture of me in the hospital when I was first born of my hand, you know, kind of creeping out of the blanket. And
nope, I'm like, say
that's
nope.
What, yes. Don't tie me down. And so and the emotion that comes with it. I think a lot of my clients question, you know, when they're going back into these past lives, when they're accessing them, am I making this up? Mm-hmm. Right? You ever hear that?
Oh, or sure. Well, yeah. And when people are opening their spiritual abilities too, how do I know if I'm actually receiving messages or being clairvoyant or if I'm making it up, if it's my imagination? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
But the emotion that comes up and the tears that just start flowing, you can't deny that.
Yeah. You're like, well, even if you're making it up, if it is cleansing, if it is healing, if you're releasing things, that's all that matters.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. And they feel a physical difference.
Oh, yeah. Right. I'll bet you get this all the time too. My clients will seriously, 97% of my clients will message me after a session. And I think probably the 3% that don't is because they don't want to bother me. You know what I mean? Like, or they're shy, but they message and say, I feel different and I don't know why. Like that's one of the most common things is I feel different. I feel lighter. I feel better. I feel, you know what I mean? Like, and I can't really describe it. They'll say like, I don't know why, or I can't describe it. And that's, yeah, the lightening of the body immediately can release that trauma.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Wow, this is really cool. So I also had early on in my awakening process, a persecution burning at the stake kind of past life memory. And it was really pertinent to where I was then in my journey too. Because at the time, it was early on, my husband and I had been together 10 years, and now I'm suddenly having all of these new, you know, the spiritual awakening, all these new perspectives, being able to talk to animals. And, you know, and he was like, we were both like, what does this mean for us? And I saw him there in that life as my father. And oh gosh, now I'm going to cry too. Because I'm like, I also was tied up. And they tied to me two of my animals too, a bird and a cat. And a lot of my other animals escaped. And those two animals that they tied to me were the ones who catalyzed my spiritual awakening. Like their passings actually started the opening for me. And especially, well, not especially, but like my cat passed after my bird. And when he was passing, he was like really sick. And I wasn't sure, you know, where I was in that limbo of like, when am I supposed to know if I'm supposed to help him transition or not? You know, it's a horrible time when your loved one is dying. And when it's perfectly legal and even encouraged, like it is with animals, to euthanize them when it's too much. So I actually, this is a story in this life. I was going to syringe some water into his mouth and I turned him over and he was so weak. And I went to put the water in and he shook his head really, really hard and then looked right into my eyes, which by the way, he was blind, almost completely blind. And my body heard him say, "No more. It's enough." And I was like confused, but positive at the same time. And I was like, okay, that's it. And he was one of the ones who burned with me in that life.
Oh, wow. Yeah. It is amazing though, that they find you in every lifetime. I truly believe that, that they come back to you, they return to you. And
they do. And my two cats, I have four, but two of them who came together, and they're only a month apart in age. And I had a session with another animal communicator with them. And one of them, she said that one of them, when he like emerged in this life and in the shelter with his brother, not of the same litter, but with his brother, he was like, "Oh no, not you again." I'm like, "Yeah, you wouldn't have it any other way. You love that brother."
That's awesome.
Yeah. And we just remember that they're 10 years old now, and it's just like, that plays out in their relationship so much.
Is that Franzi? I know you have a few. That's the only one I remember, though.
Franzi is the one about whom that is being said. Barnabas is saying, "No, not Franzi again."
That's Barnabas, adorable.
Yeah. Barnabas is an older soul. He's very responsible. He's very he's so sweet and sensitive and very well composed and like taking care of everyone. And Franzi's a rascal. He's a troublemaker. Aww. And he's like the little brat. I told one of my friends, I said, "I think Franzi was a puppy dog in the last life." And my friend said, "No, last life he was a Spanish teenager. Life before that he was a puppy dog." I'm like, "A Spanish teenager? He didn't live out the teen year?" She's like, no. "He got caught having sex with his landlord's wife and jumped out a window onto a bull." That tracks. Okay, I got it.
And does that fit his personality though?
Sure. Oh, that's my Franzi. Yeah, he's the one who is famous. He has everyone 18 million views on YouTube. Best kitty hug ever. And he currently has a sprained ankle.
I saw that actually. I saw that on Instagram.
Yeah, with his cast. Yeah, he's getting better.
Good.
Do you have any animals?
I have two dogs.
Oh, tell me about them.
I have a German Shepherd named Tucker and a little Yorkie named Benji.
Two very different size. Yeah.
But they match. They're the same colors, just, you know, extra large and extra small.
That's cool.
And that's Tucker's definitely the goofy one. He's like a little kid with like his tongue flopping out of his mouth. Benji is to me like he's such a cat. Like his energy is very feline. You know, cute. He jumps up on the windowsills and sunbathes.
Really? He's, yeah, that's unusual.
Yeah. Yes, very unusual. But they're mischievous. Benji is one. He's a little over one.
Oh,
Tucker is, I think, five. Yeah, he's five. But Tucker is so smart, the German Shepherd. So he knows how to open the sliding doors. He knows how to unlock doors. And so they go cruising around the neighborhood.
Oh,
and we just moved to our neighborhood about 2 years ago. So at first, you know, I was getting nervous. You know, he's going to scare someone, this big 90-pound German Shepherd running down the street. And my partner's like, "Please, he's not scaring anyone. He has a 4.5-pound Yorkie running right beside him."
Yeah, exactly. Oh, that's amazing. I love it. Do they like to be around you when you're doing like if you're meditating or, you know, because the animals are so attuned. Have you ever noticed them seeing spirit or seeing your aura? You know, sometimes after I've been meditating, my cat will come up to me and they look at my aura. They look over my head. They won't look at me. I don't know if you ever noticed them, their spiritual abilities.
Tucker, yes. I think Tucker is more sensitive. I don't know if Benji, maybe just because he's still so young. He's still just like, "Scratch my belly. That's all he cares about." But Tucker definitely wants to be next to me if I'm meditating. I think he's a little bit more in tune, as goofy as he is. Yeah. I could tell that he enjoys the energy.
Yeah.
Whereas Benji's like, you know, "Play with me, love me."
Yeah. He's busy. Being a baby. Yes. I learned that when, earlier in my experience as an animal communicator, and I asked these twin cats, these two sisters, they were 6 months old, and I asked them what their life purpose was, and they were like, "I like to play." I'm like, "Oh, you're just like us. You haven't chosen a major yet. You don't know what that means."
That sounds like Benji.
Yeah.
For sure. And we also have chickens. I wonder, do you ever, when you're work with animal communication, do you ever, like, do you do work with chickens?
Oh, for sure. Because, you know, like farm and sanctuary work and how many do you have? Like
we have four.
Okay. So you got a small flock, but yeah, absolutely. Individual or you can, or I can communicate with the flock and see how it's, how the overall energy is going, the soul of the energy of the flock. But yeah, absolutely. And I've worked with fish and dragons and tortoises, you know, horses, obviously. But I did actually work for a little bit at this, in the sanctuary. They actually rescue animals from, not rescue, retire. I guess maybe sometimes it's rescue, but they retire animals from the film industry. So animals who are trained to, you know, be in film and television. And so there's, they have all kinds of animals. And, but they also have some just ones that they do rescue, like raccoons and ferrets and, you know, they have wolves and all kinds of different primates. And yeah, it's really great. And they have also some, they have a couple of kangaroos. So I've been able to communicate with a lot of different kinds of species. All of them are available to communicate, and it's really cool. I mean, so depending on the personality, because my own little Delilah, my own cat, sometimes she's like, nope, pass. I'm not interested. Get out. She's pretty sassy.
Nope.
Yeah. Well, no, just if I ask her certain things that she does that are a little private for her. Like I asked her recently if I could look into, I could feel into her timeline, basically feel into her Akashic records and her life force energy and see what her timeline felt like. And she's like, no, nuh-uh. I don't want you sniffing around in there. I also, because, you know, it's like when I'm exposed to it, she's exposed to it. And she was just like, no. I asked Barnabas and he's like, sure, mama. Because he's so sweet. But yeah, she can be a little bit sassy sometimes. But yeah, I've never really had animals tell me no. They'll just kind of skirt around issues. But yeah, absolutely. Chickens, you should try it. You should connect with them. Just, you don't have to be.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm definitely interested in trying it for sure. They're babies still. Okay. I think they're still kind of getting comfortable in their surroundings.
And if they're babies, then what would probably be most relevant or relevant that you would mostly notice is their essences. So if you tapped in, ask their permission to move into their energy. But since they don't have a lot of like conditioning to like be in this world or to work, to be in, to respond to humans, it might be a little bit more diffuse, but you can still pick up on their essences, their personalities. Like one has this kind of energy, one has that kind of energy. You know,
I'm going to try that. Thank you.
Yeah, sure. And you could be in their presence or not. It doesn't really matter. But it might be easier if you haven't had them that long, then you can kind of open your eyes and focus on one and then close your eyes, go into hypnosis and reach out to them.
I'm going to try that. There's one I know that's like, I don't want to say she's special, but she's a little more, she's more friendly. She's a little calmer. She just seems like a little more comfortable, like with her surroundings and a little more comfortable with me. But I definitely am going to try that with the rest, especially with her, but also with the rest of them.
Yeah. How fun. Yeah. We went in a few different directions, didn't we? But they all
that's
have to
me.
Do
sorry.
I'm enjoying it. That thing, it's probably me. I'm the one who started taking it to animals. but we all, you know, all of this does relate to hypnosis, you know, really it all does, because the way that we communicate with animals is to move into the frequency that we can telepathically communicate. And that's a frequency that we find in hypnosis. So, yeah. And to me, it's just like tuning the radio dial after I induce myself in. And then I just, and the way that I tune the radio dial is have the intention to connect with them. And then, yeah. Well, anyway, this has been amazing. So we have all of your information in the description. So everyone do reach out and check out Jenna's work. And is there anything else that they should know about to work with you or any place that they can find you to partake of your work?
Sure. So you can visit my website, which is healingwithjenna.com. I also have an Instagram, healingwith_Jenna. Feel free to reach out, connect with me. And if you're local, if you're in the upstate New York or northern New Jersey area, all the information is on my website. But we have fairs here, local fairs with lots of vendors, healers. There's all kinds of events going on, especially now that springtime is here. So definitely check out my website.
Awesome. That's amazing. And you also you prepare audios for people, but that's only if they have sessions with you. Is that correct?
I can, I like to work with people individually for what they need. So if they're just looking for specific, just hypnosis audio recordings tailored to them, I'm willing to work with that as well. Or if they want, full one-on-one sessions, that's available too. It's, it's what you're looking for. And I like to kind of connect with you first. And then we can go from there. But certainly that's available as well.
Great. Well, everyone, this is Jenna Valdez. I really love having you on. Really love connecting with you. So much fun. And thank you for bringing your light to this podcast.
Thank you so much, Trisha. It was amazing.
I hope you enjoyed that conversation as much as I did. And were inspired. Jenna's story, the way she moved into her passion and her dedication, her focus, her discipline, I just really appreciated that so much. How she said, I'm going to do what it takes to, do what I love and to be of service. And that reminds me of something I just synchronistically was listening to in my audiobook on The Gene Keys by Richard Rudd. I highly recommend, if you aren't familiar with The Gene Keys, go get into it. Amazing. It's based on the I Ching. It's also based on human design. But in the chapter I was listening to, and one of my gene keys in my hologenetic profile, and it happened to mention that the secret or the key to success, as I paraphrase this, the key to success is to pursue what it is that you're able to do above and beyond anyone else. And that's in a lot of ways, that seems a little daunting, I guess, because you're like, wait, there's one thing that I can do better than anyone else. And I think that's a yes. And it may not be so specific as, oh, I'm a Reiki master. That might be one of the things that you do to help to deliver what it is that you do above and beyond anyone else. It's more, it's a frequency. It's that life purpose frequency. But if you can just kind of feel into that and be focused, disciplined. I love this word discipline. I've probably said it before on the podcast. I use discipline as a tool. And I like to remember that discipline, the root of that word is to be a disciple. So what is it that I am a disciple of? And so that's how I actually curate a path to, of that focus, of that dedicated action that is taken from the beingness, the being commitment to it. That I felt like I said, Jenna kind of really encapsulated, she really communicated that sense of, I'm going to do whatever it takes, from that sense of passion, of love, of enthusiasm. And so I'm just mentioning this, highlighting that, because I want to encourage you to feel into that for yourself. And it is a feeling deep in your being. It isn't a thinking. It isn't an analysis. It isn't a wondering what is possible by what you've already observed. That's the conscious mind. We want to be in the deep spiritual state of where you can find that in the body. You can find that it's the portal of it is the body. It's even deeper than that. More of a higher mind, super conscious and a feeling nature. And just, cultivate that sense of, I do something, I'm capable of something, I have my unique signature that is the way that I will do it, the way that I am it, is above and beyond anyone else. Well, that's what I have for you in this episode, everyone. I hope you will seek out Jenna's work. The links for all of her, ways to find her in the description. And also other links for what I'm up to, including my Modern Mystic Life coaching portal. Oh my gosh, I cannot emphasize enough my invitation to that. Also would like to invite you to check out my Instagram. The handle is at Trisha Carr Charm. And do please subscribe or follow this podcast. And if you are so led, leave us a review. That would be amazing. And share it with someone else that you think could use some inspiration, someone who you might find to be, someone who could join their light to this, everything that we are co-creating together, because this is a co-creation. And I do wish you to have a charmed day, a magical day, and thanks for tuning in. I love you, whoever you are.